Welcome to the InfoWars Nightly News. I'm David Knight. It's Thursday, July 24th, 2014, and here are our top stories.
Tonight, InfoWars demonstrates how unsecure U.S. borders really are.
Ladies and gentlemen, I am in Mexico right now.
That's next on the InfoWars Nightly News.
We have the most wide open. It's like America is like a prostitute that has sex with 200 guys a day. If having an open border is like being a whore, America is the biggest whore on the planet, having sex with 200 guys a day lined up around the block.
Now, InfoWars reporter Joe Biggs is down at the Arizona border, and to illustrate just how easily you can go through the makeshift barriers that they've got up, he did this.
What I'm going to show you is how easy it is if you're an illegal alien trying to come across a border or a drug smuggler to come into America. This right here is mind-blowing. Check this out. You come right over through this. You come over here. And ladies and gentlemen, I am in Mexico right now. This is it. That's how easy it was. There's nothing here to keep me from coming across into the country and flooding our streets with drugs and illegal aliens. This is what's going on right now. The Border Patrol is not doing anything. They're saying it's going to take another 5 years to even get some of this stuff fixed. And they've been saying that for a decade.
Now, he joked to us that he had an idea that he might just go in and get a taco. I guess we could do a commercial run for the border, but that's already been done. Now, the question is, not can we secure the border with some kind of a iron curtain? The real issue is the incentives, I believe, that are pulling people in as well as pushing them out of their country with a war on drugs. This is what has changed. It's the incentives that we're offering. And, of course, those incentives are put there to collapse the American economy in a, as we point out many times, Cloward and Piven strategy to overload the economy, to collapse it. And I think a good metaphor for what's happening here is this story from InfoWars.com today from Adan Salazar, a woman unwittingly fed and sheltered MS-13 gang members. A woman in South Texas housed, fed, and clothed a group of illegal immigrants that were traveling past her homes. One of them turned out to be a member of the notorious Central American gang MS-13. And of course, it's not just Central America, it's multinational. Now, the local police were the ones who discovered the gang member after a noise complaint and had this to say. It should go without saying, but police caution, it's foolish to open one's doors to strangers. And the police lieutenant said, any time you invite a stranger into your residence, you are inviting trouble. Exactly. Are we inviting MS-13 gang members into this country unknowingly out of a misguided compassion? Now, it was just yesterday that we had the story about Dan Patrick here in Texas pointing out that we have over 100,000 illegal aliens in jails here in Texas. He said that over the last 4 or 5 years, it's been about 500,000 crimes. He said over 5,000 rapes, over 2,000 murders. Where are our children going to go when the violence turns them into refugees? And of course, that violence in their country comes from MS-13, started out as a drug gang as part of our war on drugs, but of course, now they've diversified into a number of different issues. And one of the things that we see that they're going to be brought into this country for, of course, is to bolster the Democratic Party. And we see Joe Biden saying now that voter ID laws are racist. They're an attempt to repress minority voting. This is a story from CBS News, and listen to the way they cover it. They say Vice President Joe Biden urged a gathering of civil rights leaders on Thursday to fight back against Republican-led attempts to restrict voting rights, calling the push for voter ID requirements an attempt to repress minority voting, masquerading as an attempt to end corruption. You don't have voting rights if you're not a citizen, but of course they would like to change this. They want to say that it's racist to have voter ID in Texas and North Carolina when they have the same laws in northern states, and Indiana has exactly the same laws that they are now trying to, the Department of Justice under Eric Holder, is now trying to say is racist and needs to be shut down. But of course, you have to have ID if you're going to do a lot of things. Maybe we could just stop IDing people on the streets for absolutely no reason. Maybe we could stop IDing people in the airports. Maybe we could stop TSA from sticking their hands down our pants. But of course, that's going on. But in the voting booth, we should have no ID at all. Now, of course, they also ID people when they get on Obamacare, but that's not working out too well right now. The GAO has just launched an Obamacare sting operation, and almost all the fake insurance applicants were approved. Now, this is a story from National Journal. They point out that an undercover operation found the majority of fake Obamacare applications submitted were approved by the health law's enrollment system. They say the eligibility verification system isn't working. Well, what about Obamacare is working? This is what they found. Fake applicants were able to get subsidized insurance coverage in 11 of 18 attempts, according to the report from the Government Accountability Office. That's a nonpartisan group. They say the agency conducted the sting operation to test the strength of the Affordable Care Act's eligibility verification requirement. But I guess maybe it really wasn't racist because they really didn't look at the IDs, right? They just let them go through. So that's how I guess he gets his pass from that. We should understand that what's happening in this country with the Cloward and Piven strategy is, of course, socialism at the bottom and fascism at the top. One story that illustrates that, I think, better than anything else is this story from Organic Prepper. They say the Department of Agriculture in Michigan has forced a co-op farm there to dump 248 gallons of organic milk and to break 1,200 free-range eggs, and, of course, an undisclosed amount of fresh cream, butter, and cheese was also destroyed. They point out in this article from organicprepper.ca, the state of Michigan decided to direct its resources towards cracking down on a small food co-op in Standish, Michigan, for having the audacity to provide milk, butter, cream, and eggs to people who bought shares in the organic dairy. Now, listen to what they did with the eggs. They said they had a 100 dozen eggs, and they required those 1,200 eggs to be broken individually while they watched and inspected it. They also required that the 248 gallons of milk had to be dumped with a sprayer. And, of course, they had Michigan Department of Agriculture people witnessing that. What they're claiming is that they were selling food without a license. However, the farm is a co-op and people have shares. So they basically came in with their regulators and said, your shares don't match our definition of what they should be. And they ask in this article here, they said, what is wrong with the world when real farming is treated like a crime and fresh food is treated like crystal meth? Now, of course, what's behind this is protecting big agro. And the way they do that is they make it difficult for small farms to compete. They try to drive them out of business. We saw this first in the dairy producing states that were real big about that, Wisconsin. They came after raw milk farmers. But now Michigan has made this a fine art. They're going after hog farmers, everyone who's a small organic farmer. We've seen the same thing happen in Hugo Chavez's socialist Venezuela, of course. There, the bankers got 700% return on their investment, while the people that he was supposedly protecting with socialism, while the people are now having to leave the country to get water, medicine, and of course, food. Now, there's an interesting turn of events in the Ukraine today. The U.S. government has been making its case to go after Russia on social media. And we have on social media now a YouTube video that was put up 1 month ago that purportedly shows Ukrainian fighter jets hiding behind a passenger plane, pulling away, dropping bombs, and then hiding behind the plane once again. Now, whether or not this video is true or not, we don't know if this is propaganda. We don't know if it's purely a coincidence, if the date has been changed. But, of course, they're talking about how this is a threat, how it was set up to essentially provoke an attack on a civilian jetliner. That's the problem with using social media to make your case as to what happened, to investigate this. But, of course, that's the only data that we get from the American government. We've seen some radar information as well as some satellite imagery from the Russian side. We have not seen it from the U.S., merely assurances that they've seen everything and they know exactly what's happening. Well, a lot of people are not happy with that, not just in the U.S., but, of course, abroad as well. It appears, according to an economist, Jim Willey, he's a financial analyst, actually, he thinks that what's behind all the NSA spying is Germany being upset with the way they're being pushed around by the American government and possibly looking to join the BRICS. Now, he claims that Germany is preparing to ditch the unipolar system that's backed by NATO and the U.S. in favor of joining the BRICS. Now, of course, the BRICS are Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa. He says he thinks that they're looking for details with the NSA spying on Germany, that they're looking for details for a secret movement in Germany to get away from the dollar and to join the BRICS. And, of course, we point out in this article by Paul Joseph Watson, earlier this month, the BRICS nations announced the creation of a new $100 billion anti-dollar alternative IMF bank to be based in Shanghai and chaired by Moscow. Now, of course, we all know how devastating it will be for the U.S. economy if they abandon the petrodollar. But Jim Willey points out another big, big consequence. He says the U.S. is basically telling Europe you have two choices here. Join with us in a war against Russia, with sanctions against Russia. Join with us in constant war and conflicts, isolation, destruction to your economy, denial of your energy supply, removal of contracts. Join with us in this war and in sanctions because we really like to keep their dollar regime going. And he says they're getting really tired of being pushed around. He says we're pushing Germany. He said, don't worry about France. Don't worry about England, but worry about Germany. They have 3,000 companies who are doing active business right now, and they are not going to join the sanctions, period. So the day that they abandon the dollar as a standard is a day that we're going to radically, radically see our lives changed here in this country. We're going to see massive economic hardship. Well, stay with us right after the break. We're going to have a story I think you might find interesting. Remember those old-fashioned things called parents? Well, the feds are now looking to deploy robots as personal trainers. We'll be right back.
City of Austin tap water versus filtered City of Austin tap water.
I can, like, taste dirt in it.
God knows what's in this.
This has an aftertaste. Tastes like Austin water?
Yeah, it does. Ugh.
These people just sampled City of Austin tap water straight from the faucet. Next, we had them try a sample of tap water filtered through the ProPure G2.0 filtration system.
High quality H2O.
That one is better.
Tastes like nothing.
Yep, I know what good water tastes like. It's good water.
Most tap water contains added substances like fluoride, chlorine, Monsanto's deadly pesticide, glyphosate, and many others. Studies prove that these substances are linked to an assortment of major health issues, including tooth decay, lowered IQ, and even cancer.
It tastes like you're drinking out of the lake when you're drinking tap water.
Yeah, it has that processed flavor to it.
The ProPure G2.0 filtration system removes these deadly substances and many more, leaving only fresh-tasting, deliciously clean water.
Okay, this is very tasty.
It's good water.
Refreshing.
It's good.
Go to InfoWarsStore.com today. Use promo code WATER and save 10% off your ProPure purchase. Again, that's InfoWarsStore.com or call 1-888-253-3139.
This is Alex Jones for InfoWarsLife.com. The latest in preparedness is now here, an electrically stabilized colloidal silver solution that can be added to both your home cabinet and preparedness pack alike. Concentrated to 30 parts per million in what has been dubbed the Survival Silver Solution, the new InfoWars Life Silver Bullet Colloidal Silver is the answer for you and your family. And it's entirely free of toxic artificial additives that are loaded into many products. The InfoWars Life Silver Bullet Silver is so powerful that it is concentrated into a 2-ounce bottle and is not recommended for extended continual use. This is not a low-grade formula. We are working with one of the top laboratory manufacturers in the United States to bring you the best form of colloidal silver using electrical processes within a base of deionized water for your preparedness storage or your home kitchen. Purchase your bottle of InfoWarsLife.com Silver Bullet Colloidal Silver today and find other amazing supplements at InfoWarsLife.com.
Welcome back. Now, government is always looking for ways to extend its control and influence over children. Of course, Aristotle and Plato wanted to get rid of parents altogether. Now, the federal government, giving a grant to Yale University, has come up with a novel approach, and that is a $10 million grant to use robots as personal trainers. And they're talking about deploying them. That's the kind of language that they're using. The National Science Foundation has committed $10 million to build robots that will act as, quote, personal trainers, unquote, for children in an effort to influence their behavior and their eating habits. They say Robots Helping Kids is the name of the project. They will ultimately deploy robots into homes and schools to teach English as a second language. That's one of the examples that they gave. And, of course, we've talked about how one of the reasons that they're pulling in all of these young children from Central and South America is that they would love to have absolute influence over them. Children with no parents or with maybe just one parent at home while she's working at McDonald's, of course, they could have the robot teaching them English and doing other things. As the director pointed out, he said, just like a good personal trainer, we want robots to be able to guide the children toward a behavior that we desire, that we desire. Who would that we be? Would that be the parents or would that be the government? Of course, they say the need for this technology is driven by, and this is another quote from their study, driven by critical societal problems that require sustained personalized support, supplementing the efforts of educators, parents, and clinicians. See where they put parents in there? They're kind of sandwiched in between the government school teachers and the psychiatrists they put in. They say they want to build a healthy relationship of trust and respect between the child and the robot, and of course between the government that is supplying and programming that robot as well. Now, they had a close call at the Senate today. You know, we all know how difficult it is to de-louse Congress. Well, we got an example of that. The Senate undergoes an emergency cleaning after a woman drags in bed bugs. This is a woman who, I guess you could say, she was attempting to bug the Senate. But she was standing in line, and people in line to get into the Senate saw bugs physically climbing over this woman. They alerted people, and they went into lockdown. As they said, we've been on high alert all day for these creatures. People are pretty much on lockdown, and they're scared to leave their offices. Well, it's interesting, isn't it, that they're not that scared about disease and pestilence coming across the border, even though we've had a lot of reports of that by border agents. We keep seeing the government as well as the mainstream media that it's controlled by the government or working with the government telling us it's not really anything that we need to worry about. Wouldn't they be as concerned or shouldn't they be as concerned if it was a real bug? You know, not just joked about bugging the Senate. Well, what about bugging you? What about putting electronic bugs in it? Shouldn't you react that way? Shouldn't you go into lockdown? Shouldn't you panic to try to get rid of those? Because it is very difficult to get rid of those types of things, the kind of police state surveillance, the kind of tyranny that we see. That's just as difficult to get rid of as bed bugs once it gets established in an area. Now, we also see in another story today from on Infowars.com, Steve Watson reports, a leaked document shows that facts and evidence are not considered when adding Americans to a terror watch list. He says a newly leaked government document reveals that agencies like the NSA, CIA, FBI do not require or seek, quote, concrete facts, unquote, or irrefutable evidence, unquote, that someone is a terrorist before adding them to official watch lists. This is a document that was made public by the website that Glenn Greenwald has created, The Intercept. And they say this effectively gives single federal officials the unilateral authority to flag entire categories of people that the government is tracking onto special elevated watch lists for extra security. The power to carry this action out is vested in the assistant to the president for Homeland Security and counterterrorism. And they point out this is a position that is not requiring Senate confirmation. This is very devastating to be put on a watch list. Of course, one of the first things that we did when I came here to InfoWars, one of the first stories that I covered was Wade Hicks, who was stranded in Hawaii as he was trying to travel to Japan. And we covered that story in depth. He was put on the watch list, on the no-fly list, and there was never any explanation given as to why he was put on that list. He was never told that he was taken off of the list. He was merely told that he could fly again after being stranded in Hawaii. And, of course, he had been vetted by the TSA. He had also was flying on a military plane to go see his wife in Japan. And this happens to people all the time. Children are put on the list. Many times people who are trying to get a home, if they find out that they're on a no-fly list, they will not be allowed to actually go through and get a loan. That's what I was told when I was getting my home loan by the loan originator, that they had, only time they ever had to drop anybody was when they found that they were on the no-fly list. And he said, it's very frustrating for the guy because he couldn't figure out why he was on there and he couldn't get any response. That's exactly the problem. They never tell you why you're put on. They won't tell you if you're taken off. And, of course, as we now know, they can put people on for any reason or no reason at all. Now, another story that came out today as the fundraiser-in-chief was traveling through California was that a woman in labor was being held up by the police as they blocked off the road. She could not cross the street to get to the hospital. And people were saying that she was in labor. This was the top of Drudge today. Now, witnesses said that the woman who was sitting at a bus stop bench across from the hospital appeared to be in labor, but sources told NBC News on Thursday that the woman didn't tell officers she was in labor and did not request medical attention. Not that it would have done her much good. Listen to what the officer said when the NBC reporter went over and got this video on his phone.
Sergeant, can you tell me what's going to happen with the pregnant lady across the street?
As soon as we can. Looks like the motorcade's coming through right about now, so we'll be able to open it up for traffic. And first thing we'll try to get through will be an ambulance, but I can't guarantee.
Now, did you catch that? He said, we'll try to do what we can, but we can't guarantee it. Callous disregard for the citizens of the town as the fundraiser in chief is going by. Of course, it's the emperor that's important. The rest of us are just serfs to be cast to the side. At least one city, as reported yesterday, has had enough. Obama has gone there for several times for fundraisers, and they said, we're not going to pay the security bill anymore. Now, of course, one of the ways that politicians do fundraising is by selling their books. That's what Hillary Clinton is doing right now. Now, Paul Ryan, one of the leaders of the GOP, wanted to do the same thing, but he requested permission from the FEC, from the Federal Elections Commission. He asked them for permission back on July 3rd if he could buy his own book. They reported U.S. Representative Paul Ryan is asking the FEC for permission to buy his own book with his campaign funds. They want to use the campaign funds and PAC funds to purchase copies of the book from the publisher in bulk and distribute the work to supporters and contributors according to the request. Now, what happened today was the FEC came back and they said basically he could do that, but they put some arbitrary restrictions on him, to which the Republican chair of the Federal Elections Commission said, this is a very, very dangerous precedent. And of course, now this story today from Communities Digital News said, caught in the act, FEC will hobble the sales of the new Paul Ryan book. And they point out that Democrats on the FEC, and of course it's split, three Democrats, three Republicans, the chair is a Republican, but the Democrats managed to get a fourth vote, and they imposed restrictions on Paul Ryan's publisher regarding promotion and sale of his upcoming book. Now, the current chair, Republican Lee Goodman, said he wanted the FEC to affirm that the book and its publishers are exempt from FEC regulation under what's known as the media exemption, the same exemption that typically lets newspaper editorials, television channels, and other outlets say whatever they want about political figures without worrying about campaign finance laws. Do you think that might be important, that we could say whatever we want to in the press in terms of covering political candidates? That is the essence of the First Amendment. The First Amendment was not there to merely protect our artistic freedom. It's really primarily there to protect our political freedom. It's there to recognize what we possess as human beings. As the Declaration of Independence pointed out, we possess these rights as human beings. We're endowed by our Creator with them. And these were prohibitions that were put on the federal government in the First Amendment, particularly political speech. But the interesting thing about this is that even though he's speaking out against this, he voted for it. It passed 6-0. Now, in other analysis of this, they said that the FEC Commissioner, Ellen Weintraub, also ruled that while Ryan can have his campaign and PAC buy the books to give out, the promotion of his websites had to be limited to just two sentences. And they went on to ask, they said, there haven't been any restrictions put on Hillary Clinton's book promotion, nor have the Clintons' online promotional efforts for the book been limited to just two sentences, which is clearly an arbitrary number. This is the dangerous thing, and this shows how dangerous the Republicans are, how spineless and cowardly they are when they go and ask for permission for something that is a fundamental right. They turn that into a privilege, not only for themselves, but for us. The Republicans in Congress, as well as the Democrats in Congress, have abdicated their authority as well as their responsibility to pass legislation. Now we have a situation in this country where over and over again we see these regulatory agencies, whether it's the IRS or the EPA or the FEC, constantly restricting our freedoms, constantly passing legislation, passing laws. They call them regulations. But of course, the Congress is not involving itself in most of that. They just create the agencies and let them go run roughshod over our rights. And that's what's happening here. When you ask them for permission, you are turning a fundamental right into a privilege, and of course, we can't expect them to get that back for us. Continuing on, another article today from the Examiner, the FEC chair warns of chilling regulations and a book ban on conservative publishers. Chairman Lee Goodman also says, by failing to affirm this publisher's constitutional right, their statutory right, to disseminate a political book free from conditions from the FEC and regulations from the FEC, We have effectively asserted regulatory jurisdiction over a book publisher. And that's exactly what happened. And of course, Representative Ryan begged them for that. Now, how do we take this back? Well, one of the things that's happening, of course, is we need to take back our press freedoms. And of course, every time we go somewhere, we, as InfoWars reporters, are typically not told about what's going on. When we find out that there is something that's going on and we try to show up with our press credentials, they typically turn us away because they know that they can get people who will toe the line for them. And now even the mainstream press has had enough of this. We have an article from National Journal today written by Ron Fournier. He says, while White House reporters can reclaim their beat, he says, in almost every officially sanctioned exchange between reporters and the proverbial senior administration officials, quote unquote, it's conducted in the presence of a press staffer, even when the interview is, quote, on background, meaning that the source will not be identified by name. And of course, when they put these third party minders in, it's there as a way to intimidate the government spokesman who is speaking, quote unquote, off the record. And we've seen this over and over again. Everywhere we go, it's not just high-ranking government spokesmen. It's everyone in government now will not talk. They're afraid for their jobs. They're afraid of the regulatory agencies. They're afraid of the White House, just like Paul Ryan. And that's how freedom dies. Now, to his credit, he's pointed out some things that the press needs to do in order to take back their freedoms. Listen to these three points he made. He said, one, the White House is setting the ground rules by covering the president. Why? Good reporters control the terms of play. Number two, many reporters operate under the assumption that they will need the cooperation of a PR spokesman more than the spokesman needs them. That's wrong. We can do our jobs without so-called flacks, and we do that here at InfoWars without the PR spokesman. We don't need them. Many editors and reporters, the third point, are afraid to get beat on a story if they don't play by the PR rules. Flout their rules. Make them fear you. That's right. We don't play the access game. Once you begin to get worried that if you go beyond their restrictions, if you don't treat them in the manner that they want to be treated, if you don't just parrot back their press releases, you will not be given access in the future. That's why we're not given ready access. That's why they turn us away from press conferences. We don't play by the rules. We don't need their PR reports, even when they're willing to give it to us. When we went to Nevada, of course, the police department there, with all the publicity that was going on, even though CNN by that time and Fox News had turned up after a week of us covering it, they didn't even have a press report to give us. They just said, go away. Well, we don't need their press reports, and we're not interested in their press reports. Stay with us. Right after the break, we're going to go on location with Staff Sergeant Joe Biggs at the Arizona border.
Alex Jones here to break down some exciting developments in the area of research concerning supplemental iodine. It's nothing less than phenomenal. I began to get into iodine a few years ago because it was helping me and my family so much get healthy and detoxify. And I used some of the mainline iodine supplements and they upset my stomach and I had some issues with it. Until I discovered a product being developed by Dr. Group, who I was already interviewing as an expert on my radio show, and I began taking the product before he actually rolled it out. You now know it as Survival Shield True Nascent Iodine that your body can really absorb. Then, about a year ago, he said, listen, if you think this is powerful, I'm going to come out with rare earth, deep earth crystals that are incredibly powerful that no one else has as a source for their iodine from between 7 and 12,000 feet, literally drilled out of the ground. You put it on a hot plate, and it turns into the pure gas. No one else has 99.99% pure iodine. And the results that I personally have had have been life-changing. I was over 270 pounds. And with the iodine, exercise, and better diet, I have lost now more than 50 pounds total, and I'm continuing to lose the weight. I have more energy, my libido, all this crap came out of my skin. I believe our research is conclusive. This is the best iodine out there. And I know this for a fact. Nobody else has got iodine based on these pure crystals, ladies and gentlemen. This is innovating. This is trailblazing. And the best part is it helps fund InfoWars.com, the radio show, the TV show, the whole media operation promoting true libertarian ideas.
For a limited time, experience the ancient power of Survival Shield X2. Take advantage of this unprecedented 30% off Super Detox Special at InfoWarsLife.com.
Welcome back. Now, as I mentioned at the beginning of the news, Joe Biggs is at the Arizona border in order to give you a closer look at to what is actually happening there. What does it look like, both on the ground and from the air? Joe, tell us what you're seeing at the border.
It's been pretty mind-blowing, David. You know, yesterday I showed you how easy it is to clearly just walk across the border. There's nobody around. And then once you get into our country, there's wooded area that you're covered and concealed and no one can see you. And that area is like a wildlife refuge. So the only way Border Patrol, if they even see you, could even go in there is if they have what they call a suspect. They know a known suspect. That's the only way they can even go into that part of the area. So
Border Patrol is restricted from that area because it's a wildlife reserve?
Yes, that's BLM's property.
Oh, yeah, BLM. I remember those guys.
Yeah, yeah.
They have desert tortoises.
I think you met them before.
Right?
Yeah, the BLM is maybe quarter of a mile away from us, right over here. So yeah, those are your buddies.
Yeah, those guys will shoot you if you get in their area. That's what they say anyway.
So. Well, except for the illegals, apparently they have safe passage.
That's right.
Well, yeah, Glenn Spencer took us up in his single engine Cessna today, and we got some really amazing aerial footage of the state of our border. He told me I would see stuff that I just wouldn't believe, and he surely was right. The things that we saw, like right here behind me, looks like a pretty good fence, you know, but once we got down 30 miles or so like that, the fence stops. Then you get into a mountain range, you go over the mountain, and for 45 minutes we flew, and I did not see one Border Patrol agent parked along the border at all whatsoever. And the fence is waist high to knee high. There's no barbed wire. It's just some metal sitting there, and you can just step right over it, and you're home free. Because in that area, there's nothing. They have no camera set up. There's nothing. And what was funny, what Glenn Spencer pointed out, is you'll see blue flags on the Mexican side along the border through here. And what they do is the supporters for the people trying to come over, they're water holes. Someone comes in daily and puts water in there so they can fill their canteen. So when they come over the border, they have water, you know, to last them throughout their journey until they get a ride and then say yes to their American citizen and they're home free.
Wow. That's amazing. Now, as I was pointing out earlier, though, we didn't have this problem before. And Border Patrol agents have pointed this out. It's the incentives that are pulling people in. And of course, in their country, it's the drug gangs, MS-13, the Zetas, that are essentially driving them out. And of course, we're fueling both sides of that. We're pushing them in with the war on drugs, and then we're pulling them in with new incentives that we never had before, because for decades, the border has been in that state or even less patrolled or less fenced than it is now. And yet now we have these policies that are pulling people in for the welfare state, the entitlement programs.
Well, Glenn Spencer has the technology he has invented. This guy is a genius. We've spent the past 2 days with him so far, and he knows his stuff. He is probably the leading expert on this border situation because he's been following it for 22 years. He took this technology that he came up with. We're about to get a demonstration here in about the next hour. But he took this technology to Washington, and everyone loved it. There were people from other countries who loved it. They wanted to use it to protect wildlife refugees in Africa, where people go and hunt the elephants and try to kill them, so they can censor. He has these seismic readers that go on the ground and can detect people walking around. And what it does, it sets off an alarm. A drone flies up out of the ground. It flies and searches that area. Once it gets somebody, it pinpoints them, follows them, and it gives them live footage back to the base camp. Then the drone goes back to its spot and flies. No one controls the drone. It's all automated. What happened was he just went down to McAllen, Texas, and talked to the Border Patrol. Once they saw that, they loved it. And when they went and told their superiors that we need that this technology will secure our border, the government shut down the contract, and they will not speak to him now.
Well,
so them talking about how they want to secure the border is complete and total BS, because I'm telling you right now, I've seen almost $80 million of fence today put up, and there's gaps in it. Strategically, They don't even try to hide it. They have lifted the gate up and put these pins with locks in them that only they have, the government has the key to, and they're left wide open. Because, you know, what they want to say is DHS comes out on their little press conferences and they have their people come out and say, hey, we have a fence along the border. I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know why anybody out here is complaining about what's going on. And they do that so they can feel good, David, when they say that they don't feel like they're lying. There is a fence out here. I'm not going to lie. There is a fence out here, but it's not secure in any way. And anybody can come across, anybody, any people that terrorists that come into Mexico and want to come through can come through. Illegals can come through. The smugglers can come through. The smugglers, when they see a fence, they take an acetylene gas torch, cut a hole through the fence, and drive a truck. I just talked to a rancher, the next guy over that lives over here. He said four trucks in daylight drove across his property, went up to the main road up here, dropped off a shipment of drugs into a van. They drove off. They came back across the property, across the fence, put it back up, and welded it back together.
That's why I say they're not going to be able to stop this by force. There's no will to stop this by force. When these people come in, they know that they're coming in now. It's not like they don't know that people are coming across the border. They know perfectly well they're coming across. They even apprehend them and then give them their permisos, their notice to appear, which is then ignored. So there's no political will to do anything about it. And, of course, they already know that they're coming across. We've had this war on drugs now for decades, and it's getting more and more dangerous. We've seen hundreds of thousands of people killed just in Mexico alone. And that kind of violence is now going to move its way into this country. It will be used to create an elevated police state. So I'm very concerned about trying to stop this by force when really it's a matter of policy. It's a matter of the government wanting to build the welfare entitlement state programs to create what they call clients. And that's exactly what these people are going to be. They're going to be dependents on the federal government. That's what they want.
I mean, you know, for the regular American who sits at home and they watch TV and they see, you know, the Department of Homeland Security come out and say that we have this fence, you actually get out here, you can just see the corruption out here. Like being right here on the front lines, it literally, if it doesn't make you angry, I don't know what else can, because to see this wasted taxpayer dollar, that this money being spent to put up a fence so they can say that they have a fence, this whole fence is a beard, because really they keep leaving it open everywhere.
That's right. Well, of course, the prohibition programs that they have with the war on drugs are simply a beard, because we all know that they're running the drug programs. They are running the cocaine in Central and South America. They're running the heroin in Afghanistan. We've seen how the supplies have gone up after the U.S. went in and took over the area. It went up to 90% from 10% of the world's supply. So we know what's going on these various ways. I guess the question is, you know, what do we do about it? I mean, it's we can see the people coming across. We can see the effects of them coming across. But it's what the people in government, the federal government, want to see happen.
Enough people won't come out here and actually show. The ranchers that live out here, they said they've contacted the mainstream media for 10 years talking about the stuff out here. You know, Glenn's been going around talking about how this is going to get to this point now where we're at for the past 20 years. And he's been completely right. But Fox, CNN, all of these people ignore the requests to come down here. The ranchers are, I mean, they have footage at nighttime of drug smuggling operations from a cartel house about a mile away right over here that we saw earlier today. It's a huge cartel house. And the Border Patrol, no one does anything. When they call the Border Patrol, they're like, yeah, we don't, it's not really for us to, you know, to worry about, you know, just don't worry about it. You know, turn a blind eye, basically.
Well, you know, of course, we had yesterday that clip of the former Border Patrol agent who said this is simply asymmetric warfare, talking about the gangs, talking about the drugs coming across the border. And, of course, Joe, you and I were at the Asymmetric Warfare Center. We've seen how they're training for that. Maybe this is the incentive that they will have to create martial law in America that they've been training for so long.
And it's so scary because, you know, in a perfect country with a government that really isn't corrupt and loves the people and really wants to be successful, sending the National Guard down to the border would work. But the people we have in Washington right now, there's no good can come from this. You know, Rick Perry, you know, and President Obama, they talk about how they're enemies, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, Rick Perry used to be a Democrat. You know, they have the meeting. He's in there chuckling with them. And then they're talking about sending the National Guard out to the border. That's not going to do anything except scare people. And then eventually they're going to try to get the people used to it. That's one step to ease it in to go into full martial law.
That's right. And of course, he says he's going to send the National Guard to the border, but I think he immediately started the call-up of the National Guard. I don't think they're actually going to send anybody there for about 30 days. So it's a lot of posturing. Well, we're about out of time. Joe, tell us what you've got coming up.
All right, so what we're going to do now is go over to Glenn Spencer's ranch back over here, and he's going to give us a demonstration on the seismic technology that he's been trying to have put along the borders from Brownsville all the way over to California. This is groundbreaking technology, the best there is to secure our borders, and we're going to go over here and see what it is, film it, and we'll have a video out for you guys tomorrow about that.
Thanks, Joe. I'm anxious to see that as well as the aerial footage that you've taken. We'll check back with you. Thanks. Well, that's it for tonight's news. Now, as you remember earlier in the show, as I read that article from the National Journal about how can journalists take back their beat, they said they'd become dependent on the government for press releases. They were afraid that they wouldn't get access if they didn't read the press releases the way the government wanted it read. And, of course, we don't do that here at InfoWars. Just as we see Staff Sergeant Joe Biggs going across the border, going places that they don't want you to see, going to press conferences and asking questions that they don't want to be asked, that's what we do here at InfoWars. Support us with PrisonPlanet.tv. If you're not a subscriber, please contribute to it by becoming a subscriber. You can also pass this out. Up to 11 other people can share this simultaneously with you. They can watch the news every night along with you simultaneously, as well as have access to all of Alex Jones's documentaries. Well, that's it for tonight. Join us tomorrow night at 7 Central, 8 p.m. Eastern.
You've experienced and heard about the benefits of Supermale Vitality. Now, the new formula has arrived. Introducing the new Super Female Vitality. I have specifically designed this formula to help the body naturally regulate itself without the use of artificial hormones. Key ingredients chosen from the highest quality sources. Secure your Super Female Vitality today from our limited stock at InfoWarsLife.com.
You are watching the InfoWars Nightly News, which airs 7 p.m. Central at InfoWarsNews.com. Members can share their passcodes with up to 11 other people, and your support is helping us defend liberty worldwide.